This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff and Sons Funeral Home in Hillsboro. By CTI Tech. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And what do we got here? A few shopping days left until Christmas, so there's
just
still time.
Just a few, yeah.
10, I guess.
Yeah. The countdown is underway.
If you want to go on Christmas morning, you have to. If not, let's call it 9.
It's probably not a good idea to do that on Christmas morning. So
most likely not.
No.
Might have some issues. Although you might have a good deal. Could be a good deal to find.
I don't know. You may not find anybody open.
That's a good point. But if you're open, if Rule King's open on Thanksgiving, why not be open on Christmas morning? That last minute shopper.
We'll be open.
Yes, we're always open.
We're always open.
So, 1 week ago, we were preparing for the T-Tote shootout versus cancer. And everything went fantastic. Yeah. It was a great day of basketball. But more importantly, Terry, it was just a great day to honor you and kind of come together and remember everything that you've done for the community over the years. And just kind of, as you've had a week now to reflect on it, just your thoughts on the day.
Well, it was a very special time, and I appreciate everybody that was involved, no matter how they were involved, whether it was through donations, through volunteer help, the basketball teams themselves that participated in the shootout. A lot of the coaches and the players, wanted to be a part of that. And it was just a wonderful day and evening of high school basketball, and much appreciated. It touched me, and I think it worked out all right. Everything kind of came together. And didn't really have any significant problems of any sort, hopefully will be an event that becomes an annual type thing. So
that's the plan. The plan is to have it at Lincolnwood next year. And Josh Stone and Darren Deneve already have the planning underway for that. So it should be fun when we do it again next year. I think December 14th will be the date for the shootout next year at Lincolnwood. But still one more thing to do in regards to this year's shootout. Got to give you the money.
Well,
all the money raised went to you, Terry, after all the expenses were paid out from everything. You're going to get a tick over $8,000.
Yeah.
And they'll present the check to you tonight at the Litchfield Hillsboro Girls Varsity Game.
That's very kind and very generous. And again, the Montgomery County Cancer Association can't say enough about that fine organization and the fact that they take care of people in Montgomery County. They also do the donation to the American Cancer Society, but their first goal is to take care of residents of Montgomery County. So
they'll have a couple representatives there tonight. They'll present you with the check, and then the inaugural T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer will officially be in the books.
It'll be over,
That's right. So. And, of course, it'll be a special night at Hillsboro. Besides the fact of the presentation for you, Terry, Hope Schulte will be getting her Hall of Fame plaque. We'll talk about this a little bit as the hour goes on, but what a ball player.
Oh, my goodness, yes. You have ball players that come along once in a generation, and she was one of them. And deservedly so belongs in the Hillsboro Hall of Fame, so. And we'll be getting her plaque tonight and recognition that she deserves.
Absolutely. So that will be part of the pregame festivities at Hillsboro this evening as well. We're happy to be joined in studio this morning by our good buddy John Blank. John, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Well, you are in this morning to talk about a program that you have going, Cleats for Kids. And I guess I'll just turn it over to you and let you talk about this. But this is just a really neat thing that you have started.
Well, Tim, what we've done we wanted to get people that were in the community to know who Shelter Insurance was and the kind of company that we are and we deal with. And And me being coaching the community, I understand that there unfortunately some families aren't as fortunate as others, and I want to make sure that we give back. And so that's what we've tried to do. We've started cleats for kids, and we've almost kind of changed it over because basketball season's here, more like sports shoes for kids.
Okay,
so
yes.
We've also added some basketball shoes are in there, and we have some we have a couple pairs of basketball shoes that look like you could probably wrap them back up and put them back in the box. That's how new they are. We have various sizes of shoes, whether it's baseball shoes, baseball, softball, track spikes. We have plenty of track spikes in there. We have indoor and outdoor soccer cleats. We have, you name it. If it's got a cleat on the bottom, we have something in there. We have some great looking football cleats as well. And like I said, we're starting to get some basketball stuff in there as well. Just we want to give back because the thought was, if you want to bring in a donation, it's completely anonymous. You know, come on in, bring it in. We'll set them up for you. And if you want to come in and you want to take something, your child needs some shoes, and you may not be able to afford it. I know a lot of people are they're strapped for cash this time of year, and the last thing they need to be worried about is, oh my gosh, my son or daughter is playing indoor soccer and doesn't have the same shoes as everybody else is playing with. And we have them. Come on up to the office. I can assure you, if we don't have them on the floor, let me know. I'll put them on my Facebook site, and we'll find them. And we'll do our best. I have a lot of people out there that look at these things, and we just want to make sure that if you need you know, a set of spikes or a set of cleats for your child and you can't afford them, come in. Let's see if we can find them.
So it's all at your office at 300 South State Street in Litchfield, and you got all sizes, you got all the different types, and you mentioned it. For, you know, there's, I don't know, I don't want to say a lot of kids, but there's a good number of kids who get a new set of shoes or a new set of spikes for each sporting season. So when you only wear a pair of shoes or cleats for one season, like you said, some of these are in fabulous shape, basically brand new.
Absolutely. You wouldn't believe how often I get a parent comes in and they said, hey, we would rather, we got this for little Johnny or little Sally, and they didn't fit. And rather than taking them back to Springfield or wherever they bought them at, they're just like, here, you know, you have a good thing going. Let somebody else use these cleats rather than, you know, taking time out of their schedule, because people are busy, especially this time of year. And we just want people to know out there that if you need something for your kids, come by the office. Let's see if we can find them for them.
John, I can remember coaching soccer. Every once in a while, a kid would blow a shoe out, and there goes the duct tape. You know, wrap the duct tape around it, and just keep playing. And here's an opportunity now to actually get a decent pair of cleats.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, Terry, you say that. Whenever I coached high school soccer over at Gillespie, it was kind of like the running joke of what color of duct tape was the girls going to come out with every game. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I know the girls probably remember that. It was pretty amazing. But yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you got those shoes blown out, and you may be three or four games into the season, or you may be three or four games left in the season, and you're sitting there going, oh my goodness, how am I going to get, mom and dad don't want to spend, money on a pair of cleats. You know, we only got three or four games left. Well, come in. Let's see if we can find something for you.
And especially this time of year, you know, Christmas time, presents, obviously. This, it maybe is even more special now that if a young person maybe who doesn't have a lot of things can open something like this up on Christmas morning, you know that's bringing a big smile to the face, and that has to bring a smile to your face.
Absolutely. That's why we're here. We are here, whether it's the insurance that we offer, you know, for families, or the cleats we offer for the kids. We want to make sure that whenever you walk out of our office, you're happier when you walk out than when you walked in.
And when someone walks in looking for some shoes, what's the process? Where do you have them displayed? It's kind of like a shoe store where they just get to walk through and look the selection. How's it work?
Well, it's we have them in the back of the office. Basically, just, you know, you come in the front door. You know, let me know what you're doing, and let's walk back, and you know, I'll help you. Let's walk back. You know, if you want to bring your child in, we'll turn a chair around, and we'll find them. We have probably 40 or 50 pairs of shoes back there. Like I said, of all types, you know, especially people I know and having an athlete, you know, in my house or two or three. We have had, it's the track spike seems to be the big thing for us is, you know, it's only like a month and a half thing. We did want to go out and spend $50 to $60 on track spikes, you know, and it was crazy because some of the nicest shoes we have in there are the track spikes because, you know, people only use them for a month, month and a half. They're on the asphalt only, so they're kept nice and they look great. But yeah, come on in. We'll get you back there. Let mom and dad fit you up and make you, you know, get, make sure that's the right pair of shoes for you. We'll love you on the way out. And, you know, hey, if you want to stop by the desk and talk about a little bit of insurance while you're there, we'll do that too.
John Blank joining us here this morning to talk about cleats for kids or sports shoes for kids. They've got it all. They got any sport you can imagine. They've got you covered, so just stop by 300 State Street in Litchfield and see John. We need to get to a break. We'll come back with more on Sports Saturday following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Happy to have John Blank in studio this morning talking about his great program, Cleats for Kids, but it's more than cleats. It's just athletic shoes of any kind. And, John, you were telling us during the break that the response that you've had for people wanting to donate shoes has been remarkable.
Yeah, Tim, it was funny. I was just, like I was telling you guys at the break there, I've literally been to basketball games already this fall, and I've had parents come up to me at games and say, hey, listen, I have a bag of shoes for you in the car. So we went from their trunk to my trunk, and the next day they were in my office ready to go. And, you know, that's the kind of response we've had from families is, you know, is, hey, listen, we want to be there for you. And, you know, and hence the fact is I want to be over there for these families. And one of the big things I think is, especially this time of year with Christmas time coming, there are so many pairs of shoes, pairs of cleats that maybe have been worn this summer, this fall. And, you know, the child gets a brand new pair of cleats, for Christmas. And next thing you know, there may be a pair of cleats or two that never get worn again. And so why let them collect dust in the garage or in the back room in a store, you know, in the pantry or wherever. And let's bring them over to my office and let's make sure that somebody else, can use those cleats.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it. And all they have to do is just stop by the office.
Yeah. And Terry, it was funny. You mentioned about blowing out shoes. Yeah. I actually, this summer, I had one of the baseball players that played for my team. His mom calls me and at 9 o'clock, and we were supposed to be on the field at 11. And she says, hey, my son just blew out his shoes. And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So I'm like, get into my house. She brought him to the house. We hopped in the truck, run to my office. We not only got him a pair of rubber spikes, rubber cleats, but we also had a pair of metal cleats that fit him as well. So we took care of this year and next year all at the same time.
That's great.
So what is the process? Like, if someone comes in, can they take as many shoes as they need, or do you have a limit per person per visit?
Well, we've never really – I mean – that's the kind of the neat thing is, we want to make sure we help a family. Mm-hmm. So if that family needs two pairs of shoes, they get two pairs of shoes. If they need five pairs of shoes, if we got the sizes they need, they can have all five. We want to make sure that, like I said before, that the family is happier when they walk out than they walk in.
Just, it's so awesome, John. I remember when I heard about this in the fall, I don't know when you started this, but I heard about it for the first time this fall, and I thought, you know, it is so neat because shoes are so expensive now, and so much, you know, a lot of athletics, you always hear the saying, you look good, you play good. Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you see a teammate out there running around, he's got the newest and the best sneaker, you think, man, I'd like to have something like that, but you know, $300 or whatever a pair of shoes cost. But this gives an opportunity, basically levels the playing field for every kid who plays sports, no matter the age, no matter the sport, to have an opportunity to get an awesome pair of sneakers.
Absolutely. And you're exactly right. I really feel like that there are a lot of kids out there that's why maybe they don't play sports. And not because they're not talented enough, is because maybe mom and dad can't afford to get them what they need. And we want to make sure that, you know, hey, listen, if it's the on your feet part, we want to make sure we take care of that. I mean, if you need something and you're on a team and you need some shoes, come in and see us. Like I said, if we don't have them in the office, we'll find them.
And John, you being a coach and having been around kids and you know if a kid really wants to play, we're going to find a way to make sure that kid's on a team someplace.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We're certainly going to make sure that he's certainly equipped. He or she is equipped to make sure they can play because as you well know, nowadays there are so many things for kids to be doing other than playing sports, and I feel like in my coaching career that I've had is whenever kids are in sports, they just seem to be doing better in school and doing better in life.
Yeah. And youth sports in particular is so much more important than the wins and the losses. We talk about it all the time. Everybody wants to win. When you put in the time and the effort, of course you want to win the game that you play. But when you're coaching little kids, there's a lot more to be taught than wins and losses.
Absolutely. And I feel like sometimes that kids not only need to learn how to win, but they also need to learn how to lose.
Yeah.
Because losing and winning, it really is, that's the process. Every night, somebody's going to win or somebody's going to lose, unless you're playing soccer and every once in a while you tie.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But it's amazing how I see lots of kids nowadays, they either don't know how to win the right way, or they don't know how to lose. And they struggle with that because you see some of these teams that are, you know, they may go 20-0. Next thing you know, they're 20-1. And those kids don't know how to lose. And, you know, you see teams that, you know, that don't win a lot. When they do get a chance to win, they don't know how to win.
Yeah.
And it's
just life lessons.
It is. I really think sports. The sports in my life has been a huge part of my life. I mean, getting to sit and listen to you guys all the time, and Terry, it was awesome to get to see you on Saturday and get the recognition I feel like you certainly deserve up there. And it was a great day. And once again, you know, sports are a lot of people's lives, and we, you know, at the Shelter and Search Agency here in town, we just want to make sure that we put the right kids on the field. And do as much as we can as far as that foot equipment anyways.
Yeah. So anybody who wants to donate cleats or a basketball shoes or any type of athletic shoe or needs a pair of shoes, 300 South State Street in Litchfield at the Shelter Insurance Office, go in, ask for John. He'll get you set up. And do you guys have, do you, obviously, what are your office hours?
Well, we are open 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And of course, if you can't get in 9 to 5, you know, give me a call, you know, 217-313-2555 or my cell number 217-556-8645. Just call one of those two numbers. You know, if you can't get in 9 to 5, you know, I'll stay in the office till 6 o'clock. We'll make sure that your son or daughter gets fitted with the cleats they need or they want. Even if it's on a Saturday morning or a Sunday, whenever people need it. You know, let's try to make it happen.
How long have you had this program going, John?
I opened the office back in January, and that's really one of the things that whenever I started, I just wanted, I shouldn't say a gimmick, but I wanted to give people a reason to come in my office. And there's a lot of great insurance companies in Litchfield. There's a lot of great options out there that people have to take care of their auto, home, and life insurance. I just wanted people to know who I am. We're a brand new company. Shelter is a very well respected company in the area, in the region, but a lot of people don't know about Shelter Insurance. I just wanted to get people in my office to realize that, hey, listen, we're here not only for mom and dad, but we're here for the kids too, and just want to make sure that we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
One of our high school sports sponsors.
That's right.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's why those ball games are on the air.
And, you know, back to what we were talking about a moment ago, Terry, and I think it kind of ties into what you're all about and why the shootout for you last week was so successful. You talked about it ever since I've known you, that sports is just another classroom.
Yeah.
That's all it is, you know. And John's intimating the same thing about, you know, youth sports, teaching kids life lessons, how to win, how to lose. And when when kids are taught that stuff at an early age and then it's consistently enforced throughout their developmental years, all of a sudden you have a bunch of good people.
Yeah. Yeah. And life's going to throw you some curveballs and you have to be able to handle them. And sometimes you fail, but there's nothing, no shame in that, because sometimes that's just the way it is. And, you know, you have to learn to handle that. So, John, keep up the good work, my friend.
Thanks, fellas. Yeah. I really appreciate you guys having me here this morning.
I want to give out your phone number and kind of the details again of if people would like to help out the cause.
Yes, come to Shelter Insurance at 300 South State Street in Litchfield, or give me a call, 217-313-2555, or my cell phone, give me a call, 217-556-8645 if you have something you'd like to donate, or if your child needs something, son or daughter, doesn't matter, come on in, see us, we'll make sure that, you're happier when you walk out than when you walked in.
Awesome, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
That's John Blank with Shelter Insurance and his program Cleats for Kids. Sports Saturday back in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. And again, special thanks to John Blank for coming out this morning. And just especially this time of year, Terry, a program like that, it's as good as it gets.
Well, it can mean so much to kids that basically need a pair of athletic shoes of any sort. And we were talking off the air, you know, kids grow so fast. A lot of times you buy a pair of shoes, athletic shoes, regular shoes, and before they wear them out, they've outgrown them. And here's a way to recycle, basically, and repurpose help kids out. So it's a great idea. It really is.
Everybody thinks that the area they live in is fantastic. Yeah. I mean, you know, they think it's just the best, and we are no different. Our area is just incredible. The generosity of people across the spectrum, it never ceases to amaze. Events like and things like John is doing with the shoes, the MCCA, with all they do for the area. But then also you've got the individual groups for the local schools that do their own fundraising efforts. And I know that you had a ceremony and presentation last night.
Yeah, last night at the Lincolnwood High School, they did the team presentation. That's Together Everyone Achieves More. That's the golf outing. It had its roots in the MTXE golf event years ago. And they had rain problems on that Saturday, so they rescheduled for the Sunday in last August. And last night there was a presentation of the check made for $26,500, and that goes to, you know, the athletic programs, cheerleaders, Scholastic Bowl. And as I mentioned last night, I said in every poll that's ever been taken in every state across the union for high school sporting high school organizations, you know, every survey ever taken shows that kids that are involved in extracurricular activities become, you know, more adept at adapting to different situations in life, become better students. And I also pointed out the fact that by doing what the adults have done to get that money raised, it sets a great example for the kids, because one day they're going to be called upon to make that donation of time, you know, money, whatever. So
awesome.
And a half. So
that is an
awesome.
That's
awesome.
Yes,
pretty
it
awesome.
Is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And the Lancers picked up a win last night.
There you go. They were inspired.
Yeah.
So. Speaking of donating time,
yeah,
nobody donates time quite like high school coaches.
Yeah.
When you break down, if you put it on an hourly rate,
3 cents an hour, maybe.
If they're lucky.
If they're lucky.
If they're lucky, all the time they put in. And Terry, earlier this week, you had a chance to talk with Mount Olive wrestling coach Ron Ryan, and he's done it a long time.
Yes. We're talking about a half a century of coaching wrestling at Mount Olive High School, and let's hear from Ron Ryan. Here on WSMI Sports Saturday, we have an opportunity to talk with Mount Olive head wrestling coach Ron Ryan. Ron's been at it for a few years. Year number 50, is that correct, Coach?
Yep, year number 50, that's correct.
Tell me a little bit about when you arrived on the scene. Was there a wrestling program at Mount Olive High School?
No, I started the program in 1969. I went to the Board of Education and asked if I could start a wrestling program, and they agreed to do it. And the first year, we wrestled 8 matches, and we were 1-7. And then the next year, we were 12-2, so we improved quite a bit after 1 year.
Ron, what motivated you to get to the school board to convince them to get wrestling into the curriculum there at Mont Olive?
Well, I had wrestled for 3 years at Western Illinois University, and when I came here, probably weighed about 119 pounds or so, and at that time, and Mr. McDowell came to me and wanted to know if I wanted to coach junior high basketball. I said, I don't know anything about basketball. I said, the only thing I know about is wrestling. I said, if you want to start a wrestling program, I'd be willing to start that. And shortly after that, he called over and said, well, do you want to go to the Board of Education and see if they might want to go along with this? And I said, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. So I went to the Board of Education meeting and talked to them about it, and they said, okay, we'll give it a try. So they gave it a try, and now we're still here after 50 years.
Obviously, the numbers were good enough to start the program and keep it going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had had about 15 to 20 kids that first year. And then the next year we had a bigger number, of course. And we've had good numbers all the way through until when we started at the co-op with Gillespie, then the numbers had decreased. And we co-opted with Gillespie on purpose so that we could increase the numbers, and kept the numbers up pretty good then. And then over the last 2 years, when the numbers in other sports began to decline, the Board of Education at Mount Olive decided to take a number of the sports and co-op with Staunton. And at that time then, I said, well, if we're going to co-op, well, they told me if we're going to co-op with Staunton in these other sports, we'd like for you to bring Staunton over in wrestling. I said, well, that's fine with me, but if we're going to do it, we might as well do Bunker Hill too. So now we have Bunker Hill, Staunton, Gillespie, and Mount Olive.
So what kind of numbers do you have now, Ron?
Right now we have 15 kids.
Is that about what you need to keep a program alive and well?
You really need probably about 20 to 25, but with the 15, I can fill all 13 of the 14 weight classes every meet without a problem, so that's not bad.
So when you started the program, Ron, what was the pitch to the kids to get them interested?
Well, there was a lot of boys at that time that we didn't have any girls at that time, of course, in 69. But there was a lot of boys at that time who were playing football and not doing anything in the wintertime. And I got them into weight programs and talked them into coming out for wrestling. And it wasn't hard to do because they wanted something to do in the wintertime. They didn't play basketball, and they wanted something that they could do in the wintertime. So it worked out pretty well.
And, of course, wrestling has both the team aspect and an individual aspect to it, which is kind of unusual.
Yeah, pretty much.
So tell me about some of the teams you've had over the years. Were there some, and I hate to throw you on the spot here, Ron, but you know, every coach has certain eras or certain teams they kind of stand out or more easily remembered. You probably have that as well.
Well, in the early years, 69 through 73, of course, we were 12-2, 10-6, and then in 72, 73, we were 6-12. But there was a young man that wrestled for me back then by the name of Randy Moss that ended his career with 64-7 and qualified for the sectional tournament 2 years in a row. And then later on, 74, 75, 75, 76, 76, 77, all the way through 79, we were 17-3 and district champs in 74, 75. And at that time in 74, 75 is when they first began the Class A and Class AA divisions. Well, they actually started the year before, 73-74, but 74-75, we managed to come up with a district championship, and that's the first time we had kids qualify for the state tournament, and that was my first state qualifier, Jim Luker, and he's only first because he was at 145, and the other one that qualified was Bob Petrovine, and he was at 185. And then, of course, in 75, 76, we had a state qualifier by the name of Chuck Harrison who qualified for each of the 4 years he was in high school. And he qualified 3 years, his sophomore, junior, and senior year. But like I said, from 74 to 79, we were really well off. Then in 79, 80, we won a district championship again, going 20-1. And in 80, 81, we won another one, going 13-4. Then it went down for a while from 82 through 84. But in 84, 85, we were 18-4-1, won the regional and took second in the sectional and went to the Elite Eight in state. And that was the year when we first had Brad Stockstill and Pat O'Neill and so forth. There were state qualifiers their freshman year, their second year. Pat O'Neill was a state champion, and Brad placed third. The next year, Brad placed first, and Kevin Fritchie placed second in state. And then in 87-88, we were 17-3. Didn't do well in the sectional because the regional or sectional, we had some state qualifiers, and that was Stockstill and O'Neill and Donnie McCullum. And Stockstill was first, and O'Neill was first, and went down to 185 instead of wrestling heavyweight. And then Donnie finished fourth. And the year before, the IHSA, while I was on the IHSA advisory committee, had decided to go to a dual team state tournament series so that there would no longer be an individual award for first, second, and third. But those three boys scored enough points to place third if there would have been individual award, but of course we didn't get one, but they scored quite a few points. And then of course my son was in school from 89 through 93 and was a two-time state qualifier and sectional champ when he was a junior, runner-up when he was a sophomore sectional. And we've done pretty well since then. Probably one of the best years after that was in 08 and 09, we ended up 11-8, and 9-10, we ended up 15-5. But numbers have killed us in the last 8 years, even though the fact we've had a young man by the name of Max Fritz that qualified four consecutive years for state and placed sixth, third, and fourth. And a young man named Johnny Dara, who's finished out the last 2 years as a state qualifier.
It's tough with small schools because you're always playing the numbers game, and there's just so many other things that can draw the interest of young people anymore.
Yeah, that you don't get as many kids out anymore as you used to, and it's not just Mount Olive; it's just all schools in the area are suffering the same kind of way. They just don't get the numbers out that they should. And without numbers, you don't get competition. Without competition, you don't well in dual meets.
And I bet, Ron, over the years, and when you've had those good years and those state qualifiers and other coaches and other programs look back and they take a look at Mount Olive and go, my gosh, what a small school, but what a great program. You probably turned a few heads.
Yes. Yeah, we've done real well over the years, and it's well recognized throughout the state of Illinois. I know a number of coaches in the state of Illinois have talked to a number of them, and it's just a big camaraderie between wrestling. So.
And we talk oftentimes about the state basketball tournament and the pageantry that's associated with that, but there's really nothing that compares to the state wrestling tournament when it comes to ceremony and all that.
No, there's the pageantry that exists in the state wrestling tournament, especially the Grand March, which I've participated in 3 years once with Pat O'Neill and then once with Kevin Fritchie, because Brad Stockstill made it at the same time, and you can only have one kid that you walk with, and I walked with Fritchie, and Tom Stockstill, his son, or his dad, got to wrestle with, walk with Brad, and then the next year, both Brad and Pat were in the Grand March, and I was with Pat because Tom represented Brad again, and it's quite a pageant, and this year I'm looking forward to the real pageant. I'll be the Grand Marshal of the state tournament, so... That's really an honor, in my opinion.
Oh, that is a terrific honor, and well deserved, my friend. Well deserved.
Yeah, thank you,
Ron. You've done all the, you've had the success and everything, but you really haven't had much of a feeder program to get these kids ready once they get into high school, have you?
No, really, the kids that we've developed have been developed from freshman on up. The only feeder programs we had were a number of years ago. Back in the 80s, 89 through, or probably earlier than that, probably about 86 through 95, we had a number of kids that would be traveling with their parents down to the DeVolto Boys Club and wrestle for a fellow that was there at the DeVolto Boys Club. Pat O'Neill, Stockstill, my son, Travis Stockstill, Timmy Vogt, and a few other kids were traveling down there, but for the most part, it was because the parents were traveling down there during the time they were in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade to participate. But other than that, no, we really haven't had a feeder program because the junior high program by this time would be completely void of athletes also because we just don't have the numbers down there for boys basketball and wrestling both, as far as the ISA is concerned.
Yeah. Again, it comes back to numbers. It really does.
Yeah, it sure does, yeah.
Ron, one thing we might mention is that coming up on, I believe, Wednesday, January 9th, is going to be the final home wrestling meet for the Wildcats. Yep. And that's going to be kind of a special night for the program and for you. Can you explain what's going to happen that night?
Well, I don't really know because I think my wife and my assistant coach are doing most of the planning, and I'm just a bystander, evidently. But that'll be the last night that I coach in Mount Olive as a home in a home meet, and we wrestle Wood River and Highland, which are two pretty good programs. So, and we're kind of down this year, but that's all right too. We'll still put forth an effort that night, and but that'll be the last night that I coach in Mount Olive.
And
in the gym itself, so.
I'm sure there ain't any former athletes or former opponents.
They've attempted to invite all former athletes, all coaches that have coached against me over the years, athletes from schools surrounding Carlinville, Hillsboro, Litchfield, anybody that wants to come to that meet and acknowledge the 50 years, so hopefully we'll have a big crowd.
One thing about your wrestling program, Ron, is that the Mount Olive Wrestling Tournament, the Invitational Tournament, that's become really one of the premier tournaments in this part of the area, of this part of the state.
Yeah, it's a real good Class A tournament for this area, and we've got 14 schools invited this year. January 5th is it, and it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll finish up about 3:30 in the afternoon, and it's a nice tournament, well run. And like I told Don, my assistant coach is probably going to take over the program, I hope. And I told Don that I'll be around to help him out with that tournament every year. And Don has renamed it the Ron Ryan Invitational, so
appropriately
that's an honor itself too.
Absolutely, absolutely, and. When we're talking athletics, of course, each sport has its own unique needs and requirements, and wrestling is just a different kind of sport, and sometimes it's tough to explain to people that in high school wrestling, you know, a different group of muscles has to be used, and you know, the quickness and the strength. You got to have the whole package to be successful.
The biggest part of the wrestling situation is you use kids all the way from 106 pounds to 285 pounds, and with each of those different sizes, you've got different qualifications and needs and things for them to succeed, because 106-pounder doesn't wrestle like a 285-pounder, so you got to vary your teaching and your work with those in different ways. So, yeah, it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that I really enjoy.
And enjoyment is the reason you've stayed with this thing for 50 years, man.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's quite an honor, Ron, to be with the program for that long and to have such an influence on the high school wrestling program, not only at Mount Olive High School, but certainly the programs in the area. And Mount Olive has always been one of those teams that, you know, people knew they were going to be in a battle if they met the Wildcats on the mat.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Ron Ryan, appreciate congratulations, that. My friend, and we hope you have a great turnout for the final home wrestling match coming up on January the 9th. And congratulations, my friend, on being part of a hugely successful program. And I know you've influenced so many young men over the years, and I bet every once in a while one of them comes back to you and says, Coach, thank you.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of thank yous lately after the article from Dave Kane on the in the Springfield Journal, and of course with Facebook nowadays, that thing was repeated on Facebook and commented on by so many people. Some people I'd never thought about for a while, and glad to hear from them because I hadn't heard from them for a long period of time. So, yeah, it was a very nice article, and it really helped.
Well, Coach, thank you for taking time out of your day to speak with us, and we wish you continued success, and thank you for your service to the high school wrestling program at Mount Olive High School. It's been terrific, and we hope that the legacy will continue on with the passing of the torch, so to speak, to whoever takes over. So Ron Ryan,
yep,
the head coach of the Mount Olive Wildcats, his final night of coaching at home will be on Wednesday, January 9th, and Ron, thanks for joining us this morning on the program.
You're welcome, Terry. Thank you.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and thanks to Ron Ryan for joining us this morning. Terry talked to him earlier in the week, because today Mount Olive is at the Toledo Cumberland Invite.
Yeah, and great guy. You know, sticking with him for 50 years, and you look at little old Mont Olive, and my gosh, it's, you know, certainly they've had success over the years in football and everything, but the wrestling thing has always been there. So,
football, wrestling, baseball.
Yeah. So,
and what Mont Olive has done at a very high level.
Very high level for a long, long time.
It's always neat when you talk to those old school type of coaches.
Oh, gosh.
You think
yeah.
about the differences from when he started to now.
Well, we were just commenting off the air that, you know, he probably started with one mat, and you know, it probably had tape all over it. So, and then eventually you get a little money in the program, you buy some new mats, and you just go on from there. And it's, you know, selling the program to the kids, and the kids selling the program to other kids, and you know, keeping things alive and well. So
think about doing anything for 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone coaching.
Yeah. So
impressive.
It is. It
impressive.
Is impressive. So, and he will have a large number of people who will come and watch him on that final night on January 9th.
Yeah, that'll be a fun night.
Yeah,
it will. Fun night in Mount Olive. It'll be a fun night tonight in Hillsboro. Litchfield Hillsboro will play in girls basketball, of course, the Route 16 rivalry. It's great anytime Litchfield and Hillsboro get together, but it is a special night all around. We'll have live coverage just in front of 7 o'clock this evening on WSMI FM 106, online at WSMIRadio.com. The fine folks at the Montgomery County Cancer Association will present Terry with a check from the money raised last week at the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer. That will be part of the pregame festivities. It'll be between the JV and varsity games after Terry is presented with his check from the MCCA. Then there will be a ceremony to recognize Hope Schulte. She went into the Hillsboro Hall of Fame, I think, back in September. They're going to give Hope her plaque tonight. And, Terry, I know I was just starting at the radio station back when Hillsboro was making that state championship run back in 06. But, man, that was a magical time. You know, you think about the Nokomis teams of 98, 99, and then in the next breath, you talk about that 2006 Hillsborough squad.
Well, and I was coaching Sports Association girls basketball, and our first game that year happened to be against Hillsborough when they were in fourth grade, I think. And
is that when you called all the timeouts at once?
Yeah, you know, it was just, you know, a good old throw butt kicking is what it was. And I can remember Al Pretner, who was coaching, he said, hey, maybe we need to get to another game schedule. I said, Al, you don't need to be scheduling us. You need to be scheduling teams from Chicago and St. Louis and, you know, Bloomington and stuff, because these girls are special. Even back then, in fourth grade, you knew they were special. And finished second in the state tournament in seventh grade, won the eighth grade tournament, won as juniors, lost in the super sectionals seniors. So, you know, they had a great run. Good bunch of kids, yeah.
And, of course, Hope finished as the all-time leading scorer at Hillsborough. She has since been surpassed by Sammy Matouche. But when you look at the success and the numbers that she put up, not only at Hillsborough, but then in her collegiate career at Illinois Wesleyan, what a ball player.
What a ball player. What a ball. And, you know, she had those long arms and was quicker than anybody thought she was. Was fearless. Didn't care if there was pressure. Took care of the basketball and was a heck of a ball player.
And, you know, fearless. I think that's probably the one. There's no great ball players that have the exact same traits except that quality.
Yeah.
Fearless. Yeah. Any athlete, any sport that's great is fearless.
Yeah.
They're not worried about what you're doing. They trust their talent, their abilities to do what needs to be done.
They can take care of the basketball when they need to take care of it. They can distribute the basketball when they need to distribute it. They can shoot the ball and get a bucket when you need it. You know, it's the intangibles sometimes that you can't teach. It's just, you know, within the blood. That's just what it is.
Sure, I think we both are of the belief that they would have been back-to-back state champions. If not, I don't know what a flu bug. I don't know what in the heck happened to them their senior year in the super section. But you were they were sick as dogs.
Yeah, they were not perking at 100%. And you know, you get to that level, and so many things have to go right. Yeah. But boy, what a great run they had. They were just terrific to watch. And, you know, the battles, the classic battles against Pena, where the houses would be packed. And,
there was one game where they were down like 8 points, like less than a minute to go and won.
And won. Yeah. Schulte hit a 3-pointer to tie it at the end of regulation and the Toppers went on to win it. So, those were some classic battles, and J.R. Borduras, our buddy J.R., was coaching at Pena, and of course, he's now doing very well at Rochester, but it was great battles, and it was always fun to have Uncle Ralph along with the ball game broadcast, so, yeah.
So that'll be real neat tonight as Hope Schulte will get her Hall of Fame plaque, and she's obviously married now, Pankow, I think is how you pronounce the last name. We'll get the pronunciation right. Yeah. By this evening, but at Hillsborough, you say Hope Schulte.
Yeah.
Enough said.
You just say Hope.
Right.
And, you know, people know who you're talking about.
And, you know, we talk about Sammy breaking her all-time scoring record. And really, from the time Sammy's been in junior high, maybe middle school, she's drawn the comparisons to Hope. So there's been a certain amount of pressure on Sammy Matouche as she's gone through her high school career with really kind of in the front of everyone's mind.
Sure.
The comparisons to Hope.
You know, and Sammy's going to have an opportunity to, you know, show off her talents at the next level if I suppose she wants to. And she'll have some choices. She'll be able to make a choice from amongst several different schools, I rather suspect. So
we've talked about it before, though. You know, the Litchfield teams back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
The Nokomis teams in the 90s. The Hillsborough teams in the middle part of the 2000s. What a run of basketball. Out.
Well, you
My
know, you
gosh.
Go you go from Carrollton and you just slice across the middle part of the state, and boy, what a great corridor for girls basketball we've had, and we've seen a lot of good basketball teams over the years. So,
absolutely,
a lot of fun.
The Lady Toppers this year have won 10 in a row.
Yeah,
10 and 2 after an 0-2 start. So they are peaking and playing good basketball right now.
Well, you know, you want to play good basketball all the time, but you want to especially play good basketball halfway, you know, the last half of January, heading in towards the regionals in the first part of February. So staying healthy. But, you know, a lot of times it's just it takes time for a team to mature and pull together. And being champions in junior high is a lot different than being champions at the high school level.
That's so, exactly right. Yeah. 6 minute quarters for the JV game tonight. So with the festivities in between the JV and varsity, probably looking right around 7 o'clock, maybe a few minutes before. Come out and join us tonight at Hillsborough High School. Have the broadcast 7 o'clock on FM 106 online at WSMIRadio.com. Tito, take us home.
That's going to do it. Have a great sporting weekend. WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Cartlandville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.